The year was 1887, and the place was Alabama. And I imagine that it had been a sweltering hot kind of day, the kind that you get in the South on the Gulf, and it had turned into a sticky and humid night. Anthony Showalter, a local church musician and teacher, had just spent the entire day teaching students to sing gospel songs at the Presbyterian Church in town. And when he arrived at home, two separate letters awaited him that both contained sad and similar news. Two of Showalter's former students had written to him, both grieving the loss of their wives through tragic circumstances. Heartbroken, Showalter wished to console them in his replies, and he thought of the first half of Deuteronomy 33:27, which Mary just read for us. As he wrote his reply to them, the words of the refrain to leaning on the everlasting arms came to him, but he was unable to think of the verses. So he wrote to his friend and colleague, Elisha Hoffman, who replied and wrote three verses to this now famous hymn. I love this story because it is rooted in everyday, real experiences of life. And it shows us how our scriptures can be of comfort to us in the realities of our living. However, you might notice if you read along in your Pew Bible that the translation in the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, is quite different. It reads as follows. He subdues the ancient gods, shatters the forces of old. He drove out the enemy before you and said, destroy. That's pretty different, right? From the eternal God is your dwelling place and his everlasting arms are underneath you. It's two pretty different verses. I was startled when I went to the NRSV, which is what I normally preach on, and to begin to do the study on this because it was so different. And so since I went on a little bit of chasing a rabbit around figuring out why these verses are so different in the different translations, I thought I would share them with you in case you also find it interesting. It turns out that this verse can be translated in two different ways. And you may be wondering how this is possible. Surely words are just words and they can be translated in a reliable and consistent manner across languages. And for myself, having taken Greek and not Hebrew in seminary, I was at a loss as to why this verse is so different depending on the translation. So, luckily, I have friends who studied Hebrew, and I called them up, and they shared with me some insight on the study of this fascinating and difficult ancient language. I learned from them that Hebrew as a written language consists only of consonants, which means that whenever somebody reads it, the reader has to supply the vowels. Context clues and the order of the words and the knowledge of the subject at hand and what type of literature we're reading helps the reader to know what vowels to put in what places. And then, at that point, after they put the vowels in, you can translate it from Hebrew into another language. However, there are times when verses can be translated in two pretty different ways. And this verse is an example of those. However, since through my studies of the hymn, I learned that Anthony Showalter was using the King James Version, that's the translation I've pondered and meditated on for this particular sermon. All that stuff about the Hebrew language is just sort of fun facts in case you were reading along in your Pew Bible and was like, what is she preaching on? So Showalter's refrain, though it is simple, is powerful both in text and tune. The way that the music is written, you can actually sort of feel the leaning. And in fact, when our church choir sings this as an anthem, they have a little bit of choreography and they lean on each other as they sing the chorus. Just 11 words. And it's such a comfort that has been provided throughout many generations. Leaning on the everlasting arms has reminded many to rely on God's strength and protection in difficult times. When grieving or experiencing loss and transition, it's so easy to just become lost in a sensation of free falling into darkness and depression. But this hymn can remind us that God is a place of safety and refuge, and God's arms will catch us when we fall and support us when we are weak. Though we may not be always able to see God in such difficult times, God is, nevertheless, there for us. It's appropriate that Showalter was inspired by this particular verse when offering some consolation to his former students in their grief. This chapter in Deuteronomy is the final blessing of Moses on the people Israel before Moses dies and before the people enter the promised land. This chapter is full of specific blessings for each of the tribes of Israel, and in those blessings, they're reminded of these different characteristics of God and charged to honor and worship and bless God in their living. Verse 27 comes towards the end of the chapter in the blessing of the tribe of Asher. The people Israel have wandered endlessly in the wilderness for the last 40 years, as you'll remember, and they have, through that time, encountered many trials and troubles, and they have consistently disobeyed God's commandments, and they've had to live with those consequences. No one among the Israelites have been perfectly faithful, not even Moses. And it has been a journey for them to learn to trust God, to obey God's commandments, and to take leaps of faith for God. The people Israel have faced many enemies in their time of wandering, and they have fought hard for their survival after being liberated from their Egyptian oppressors. The whole blessing of Asher reads as follows. Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers. Let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze as your days, so your strength shall be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. I imagine, if I am one of the Israelites about to cross into that promised land, that this blessing would be of great comfort to me. It's a time of transition, and though it is a transition that has been long awaited, it's a transition, and those are hard. It's a new way of living. They have been a nomadic people for so long, and now all of a sudden they will be settled. In a similar way, the recipients of Showalter's letters would have recalled that journey of the Israelites through the wilderness and known that if God can bring them out of slavery and through the wilderness into a promised land, so too will God comfort and rescue them in their time of grief. Surely many of us have experienced a time like that, a time of transition, a time of that feels like a free fall of anxiety and terror into a pit of darkness and depression. We have left one way of life and entered another, and perhaps that transition has happened without a spouse or a parent or a dear friend. And life before and after just felt so irrevocably different. Everything feels wrong. And yet, even in those times, this hymn reminds us that God is our refuge and God's everlasting arms are under us. It's a comfort to know that even when it feels that the world is falling apart, we are yet safe and secure from all alarms because of God's love and faithfulness. Even when we doubt, even when we raise our fists in anger to God, Even then, God is faithful and loving. This is a pretty celebratory hymn, the way it sounds, the way the tune goes, the way we sing it. And so it seems odd that it has its roots in such a sad occasion. But even the words of the verses allude to this journey of life that we're on. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. The path grows brighter day by day. It reminds us that though we walk sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because God is with us. With God at our side, we can enter the promised land. And with God's everlasting arms underneath us, we can make our way from dark valley to bright mountaintop. And with God's faithfulness, truly anything is possible. When we lean on the everlasting arms, we discover that there is a strength to our faith that we might never have imagined before. And so, in gratitude for these everlasting arms, let us sing together our hymn, which has been our sacred text today.